his blessings. Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
Good evening, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the evangelists.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Glory, glory, hallelujah,
since I laid my burdens down, my burdens down.
Psalm 122, verse number 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad tonight? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? No wonder David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And as I often say, I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad to be in the house. Amen. Amen. Y'all smile. Amen. 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 You smile smiling is contagious. When you smile, when you look at someone, ever look at someone, they just frown, and you trying your best, Brother Brown, have a good day, and then you know, and you look at someone, and they don't, sometimes they don't even make eye contact with you because they don't want to smile, you know. I tell the members at church, I say, why don't y'all smile, all right, you know. You live longer, right? You smile, right? Amen. It's certainly a blessing. So I use this one or that one. Okay, that's the pulpit mic. So you got to know where you are. Okay. See, there you got to know where you are. That's the pulpit mic. Amen. It's a blessing to be here tonight. Amen. God is good. It is certainly a blessing to be here tonight. Oh, can I be on this table? This is the communion table. Is that all right? All right, okay, all right. Got to know where you are, is it? Got to know where you are. Sometimes you can't do that. You can't do that some every place. It's good to be here today once again. The Lord has been blessing us all weekend. He allowed me and my wife safe travel here. Came down on Friday morning, and drove down, and then we spent the night, and then we came up to Hopewell on Saturday morning, and went to the program there on yesterday night, and on this morning. Of course, we were here, and then we went back over there this afternoon. Had a good time there, and we're just thankful the Lord has allowed them to see 71 years. Amen, amen. And we're grateful for that. And of course, this congregation has got some years. Is that right? You got some years, right? And so we're grateful. We're grateful that that God's kingdom is still flourishing. Amen. 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 And don't forget that I told them this afternoon that people are still watching you. They're still watching. You know, when you drive up to the building, the folk around here, the folk around there, they're watching. They're watching what you do. They're watching how many times a day or a week you attend to here. And they may not even be thinking about it, but it registers, you know, that there's some activity going on at that building. Amen. Amen. At that church. And folk are in there, and they are as they walk outside, they're kind to one another. Amen. They right? And they hug one another when they're walking out, and so that's how they know. I think Jesus said something along the lines that this is how they're going to know who you are. They'll know you're my disciples. What? By the love. Amen. And so certainly we are disciples. And he says, they'll know you, my disciples, by the love, right? And a disciple, I often tell the church, a disciple is a learner, right? Who has conformed his mind, his words, his thoughts to that of his teacher or that of his master, if you will. You know, what a disciple is, right? Jesus is a disciples, right? On one occasion, they could tell that you had been with Jesus. Folk can know who you've been with by how you talk. Uh-huh. By what you say. By how you dress. Come on now. All right. So David said, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. And we ought to be glad. We ought to have some excitement just because I'm going to be with God's people. Yes, with brothers and sisters in Christ of like-minded faith. And so that should make us glad to be in the house, to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So he was glad about that. And so I'm glad about that on this evening. Again, good to be with Brother Brown and Sister Brown again this day. And we're just thankful for all they have deposited in my life, in our life, in my ministry over the many years here when I was in Hopewell, of course. And we're just grateful for that camaraderie and relationship that we developed here. And again, even going back before coming to Hopewell, the family and the church, and of course, growing up in Northside, and we would come down here, and y'all would go up there, and all of that. You know that, right? Many of you know that. Amen, amen, amen. And so it's a blessing. Look at the book of Jonah. Not going to be too long. Jonah's a story about the big fish, right? Something you begin to learn that in Sunday school, right? Y'all still have Sunday school? All right. You begin to learn those stories, you know, Jonah and the whale or the big fish, or however you explain that to the young people, to the children. But it's a very significant story. Significant story. If you know the story, how God tells Jonah, I want you to go to this certain place, and I want you to preach. I want you to cry out against it. Jonah has some issue. Jonah has some problems with what the Almighty has asked him to do. And he was a prophet. Right. And the word of the Lord, verse one. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. All right. The son of Amittai, saying, all right. So here's God's word. The word of God. The word of God comes to him. This prophet. With some news. He says, I want you to go yonder to this place. Go to Nineveh. These weren't very friendly people he was sending them to. Enemies of God's people. They were notoriously wicked. An enemy of God's people. And so he says, go, I want you to go. The word of the Lord came to him. I want you to go to that great city. I want you to cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me. You ever wonder what God is thinking, even about us, even about the world today and everything that's going on in the world today, like into the time of Noah, when the Bible says every imagination was evil, everything they thought about was evil. And how God found that one person. He found grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And God chose him. And so he says, I want you to go to this great city of Nineveh, and I want you to cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. Again, this was a wicked people. You know. And God, a lot of the writing here, when you look at it, we can see the grace of God. Right? We say that grace is a merited favor. They didn't deserve it. But God said, go cry against it. They're so wicked. I want you to cry against it. I want you to tell them what's going to happen. We know the story. Tell them what's going to happen. And so Jonah gets this news that I want you to go up and I want you to cry against it. And we know Jonah has in his mind even you know what God is going to do, because at the end of the story he says, Lord, I knew you were going to do that. I knew you're kind, you're compassionate, you know, these people, you know, I'm the prophet, you know, these people, you know, I knew you were going to be this kind God. This people, they were enemies. Again, the enemies of God's people. And so Jonah rises up and he goes in the other direction. Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the... We can talk about that all day. From the presence of the Lord. You song group in Rochester years ago used to sing the song, you can't hide, you can't hide. God's got your number and he knows where you live. You can't hide from God. You try to run from the presence of God. From the presence of God. And so he goes down to Joppa. Finds a ship going to Tarshish. Paid ship and went down into the pit. Kept going down, down, down. To go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Listen. God's eyes. Huh? Everywhere. You can't go running. Not even on the darkest night can you get away from God. But he thought that God was there, and so I'm going to just go away to the other side. And so God tells him what to do. God has this news for this people. And I want you to carry this news to this people. Jonah decides, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. We know that by his actions, because he went the other way, a different direction. And so God sends for him. Y'all didn't hear what I said. I said, God sent. You don't want God to send for you like he sent for him. Y'all. Huh? Look at verse 3. The Lord sent. He sent a great wind. See, when God sends for you, you know. Huh? God has got something for you. All right. And so the Lord, he sent out this great wind. Not only that, there was a great tempest in the sea. So the ship was like to be broken. And so the Lord, you know, there are storms in life. And some storms are for our correction. Some storms are for our direction. Some storms may even be for our protection. Because God loves you. God loves you enough to send for you. Come on now. Huh? And so
He sent for him, if you will.
And so the Bible says that the mariners, the sailors, they were afraid and they cried to their God and they cast forth the wares. They lightened the ship to go into the sea to lighten it, to be to lift the weight of the ship, if you will, to lighten the load, rather. And Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay there, and he was fast asleep. If I were doing a whole lot here, I'd talk about how there can be. I think even Jesus talked about Jonah, how Jonah spent 3 nights in the whale. So there's some correlation there. There's some type of antitype there, you know, if I were really going into that. But I won't do that tonight. And so he goes down into the ship, and then so the shipmaster comes in and he says, y'all know the story. He says, again, you know, why are you asleep? You know, call upon your God so we can be saved here. All right. And then they said, everyone to his fellow, come now, let's cast lots. They knew something was going on here. They were superstitious, if you will. You know, we want to know, you know, whose cause is this evil upon us? So they cast lots. And guess what? The lot fell what? On Jonah. God sent for him. Now you try to run, and some of your own people you're running with, they'll turn you in. All right. So, all right, here it is. Verse 8. They say to him, tell us, you know, who you are. Right. For whose cause this evil is upon us? What's your occupation? You know, where do you come from? What is your country? Who are your people? Jonah comes clean. He said, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. Jonah was a prophet. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the earth and the dry land. You know, Jonah knew who he was. I think Brother Brown talked about knowing who and whose. See, he knew who he was. He knew who he was and whose he was. But sometimes we have a temporary lapse of memory. We don't get it. But he still understood that. All right, I'm getting to my point. They were afraid. Why have you done this? They said. Why have you? For the men knew he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them, of course. And then he said, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? Y'all missed that. What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? There's some people, there's some situations, there. Some groups that you can't afford to have in your life, or they will bring you down along what with them. So you may find yourself facing or in a dilemma, in a fix, in a dilemma. I want to live. I want to survive. But I can't. I can't afford to have this element with me, or I'm going to go down. You know, in life, there are choices that you have to make, because not everybody wants to do right. Not everybody will do right. And if you allow them to not want to do right and not do right in your presence, and you continue to embrace them, you will go down with them. And even though you try, you know, sometimes, you know, parents, sometimes with, you know, close friends, individuals that you are with, and you try 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 and they still don't get it. Sometimes we call that tough love. You ever heard of tough love? Where you have to, you know, sometimes just turn them over. I think Paul says something about, you know, let them be a reprobate. And even though all of the signs are there, too often we do like these mariners, these shipmen. Nevertheless, verse 13, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the storm, for the sea wrought, and the tempest tempestuous against them. The storm. So they knew they had to do something if they wanted to live. And so he said, he told them, he said, "All right, cast me over." He said, "Throw me overboard." Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And they cried to the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Don't lay his innocent blood upon us." So they took Jonah and they cast him to the sea. Jonah told them in verse 12, I missed that, he said, "Throw me over." Okay, so they cast him into the sea. The sea ceased from raging. And these men, they offered sacrifice to the Lord. Okay, so here you have a man who has been thrown overboard. Not because of the actions of these mariners, of these sea sailing men, but because of his own doing. His own what? Disobedience. God says go one way, you decide I'm going to go another way, you go the other way, you go down, and then now you go further down, all because you decided that for whatever reason God wants me to go to these people, and I think and God sends for him, and so now he's the one thrown overboard. What do you do when you're the one that's thrown overboard? What do you do, when I call it sometimes walking on the wild side? Is there any recovery for you who is the one, the man or the woman, says man here, I say man because, you know, I mean person, thrown overboard because of something in inside of you that says I'm not going to obey God here. I want to go this way. And so you're the one thrown overboard. Is there any recovery? The others had to do it because they had to save their life. You know, again, there's some people you can't have in your house because they'll burn it and everything in it up and take you down with it. And so you got to get rid of it. So what about what happens then? Again, and is there any recovery for the one that has been thrown overboard? We think about that. And I don't know who's here tonight to hear this, or someone you may know that has been thrown overboard, and you're trying to reach them again. But perhaps, you know, someone tonight who may hear this on the internet. I don't know who is in that state. Now, we knew who he was. He was a prophet of God. He identified who he was. He said, "I know who I am. I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord that made the heavens and the earth and even the sea that is tempestuous. I know this. I know this God. I have a relationship with this God. I just ain't doing right." Know anybody like that? Or that you know. I know you know the Lord, right? But is there any recovery? And how? I would maintain, at least in this particular case here with Jonah, if you read the rest of the chapters 3 and chapters 4, we know what happens. Jonah goes there. He preaches to the people, right? He goes into the city. He preaches. He says, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. You know, it's interesting, Brother Brown, that he, as far as we can see there, he preached one time. Well, now if you see something else, let me know. But as far as I can see, as far as I can see, just from the text here, he preached one time. And as a result of that preaching one time, verse 5 of chapter 3 says, so the people of Nineveh, what? Believe what this man said. Believe God. After one sermon, Brother Brown. One sermon. All of the people. Everybody. All over the place. Even the animals. Everybody believed God. Everybody was covered in sackcloth and ashes. Out of one sermon. How many sermons do we have to preach to get two people? Come on now. This book can really be called the Gospel of Jonah. The gospel is good news, right? And you know, again, he said, you know, in 40 days, this city is going to be gone. And so they heard that news. Might have sounded like bad news to them, but they turned it around because they changed their lives. And that's what the power of God's gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So, but again, going back here, is there any recovery? And what is it? What is it? Are there any steps? And just, again, there may be others, but I want to just show you three things here from chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Then Jonah, what did he do? Prayed unto the Lord his God. Where? Out of the fish's belly. The Lord, verse 17, chapter 1. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was what? In the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And so perhaps we understand here that he's writing this, you know, after the fact. But he's saying what happened here. And so he said, and Jonah, he prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Is there any way to recover when you've been thrown overboard? You have to return to your roots of prayer. He prayed. You can always pray no matter how far you get. See, he's in the belly of the whale. Verse 2 says, he says, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. We sing the song, he will hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Huh? So even in the faintest way, Jonah says here, I was in the belly of hell, and you still heard my voice. He went back to prayer. He went back to what he knew. He knew who he was. He went back. He began to pray. He said, Lord, I'm in a tough spot. I have to pray. Tell our young people, you might get in a tough spot, but you can always pray. Not even young. Tell old folk, older folk, older people, you might get in a tough spot, in a fix. You can pray. Again, he had a relationship with God. Again and again, you know, we get those temporary lapses sometimes. But we don't. But you can pray and trust that God can hear my prayer. Lord, I'm messed up down here. Remember the prodigal? Also in Luke, he got down there in that far country. I believe he was praying. He began to rehearse what he was going to say to his father. I'm sure he had to say a prayer in there. We have to trust that God is faithful and that God does hear us. And if we could just find the strength to return to those roots. He knew about prayer. He was a prophet. He knew about prayer. And so he cried. He prayed to the Lord. So if you're one that is thrown overboard and you might be in that situation, you can at least pray. Find it, make it. And then I think number two, you have to realize that no matter how far down you go, God can still find you and lift you up. Huh? Look what he says. Look at, and I'll show you. He says, for verse number three, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. There he's saying, you know, since I'm out of a God's sight, how in the world is God going to hear me? How in the world is God going to see me? The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. He was locked up and jammed up here about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. You see what he's explaining here? He says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. That's a low place. Might be drugs, might be alcohol, might be all sorts of illicit behavior. But if you can find a way, muster enough energy to pray to the Lord and then somehow realize and remember that no matter how far down I go, the prodigal, he was far down. He was in a far away country. No matter how far down we go, remember the Lord. Come on now. Look at the latter part of verse number 6. He says again, well, first part, I went down to the bottoms of the earth and the bars was about me. You know, he said, yet hast thou brought me up. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, oh Lord, my God. We realize you're never too far away if you can find a way to pray where God can't get to you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you've been thrown overboard, if you're the one overboard, y'all see that? He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. What's it going to take, church? Huh? You see, if God could reach a person like Jonah at this time where he was, and again, look at God's grace. God didn't, God could have just said, "All right, you're not going to obey me. I'm going to strike you down. I'm going to keep you down there." But God hears our fainted cries. Aren't you glad of that? Huh? So should we have that kind of favor and relationship with others? When they're down, when they're deep and down, and they cry for mercy, should not we be like our God and at least hear them? So, again, number one, return to prayer. He learned prayer somewhere. I think last I checked, we learned about prayer in that Sunday school class with the kids, right? Even early on, you teach them how to pray. So all the young people up here earlier this afternoon, you're teaching them something. You talk about Tuesday night class and Bible study. And so I know there was prayer there. And so he remembered to pray. He returned to that. Teach the prayer to the kids, that early prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before I wake. I pray the Lord my soul to take. We can change that. Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should wake before I die, I'm going to live for the master by and by. That didn't cost you nothing. That was free. That didn't cost you nothing. That was free. But listen. And so, again, realize that, again, if you're thrown overboard, you can't go too low to where God can't reach you. If you're reaching up to him in prayer. Then, he says in verse number 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto the Lord, unto thee, with the voice of thanksgiving. He says, I will pay that I have vowed. Remember in the book of Revelation, Jesus tells them, he says, chapter 2, verse 5, remember from whence thou hast fallen, art fallen. He says, and repent, and what? Do the first works. So he says, I'm going to pay that I have vowed. I'm going to reaffirm some things. I'm going to recommit. Will it be easy? It may not be easy, but he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to decide. You see, I've already reached out to God in prayer, and God brought me up. He didn't leave me down there. He heard my cry. And now I'm going to get up off my And I'm going to do what I should have been doing. Now I know this is just a snippet of the story, but I think there's a lot in there to pass on, or even if you've been in that situation before when you are the one that was thrown over because of bad behavior. And is there a way? And you prayed to God and you were down low, but God rescued you. You should have been gone and would have been gone and was about to be gone, but God still reached down. God still stooped down. Well, that's a clue from Lou right there. Y'all don't hear me now. God stooped down, scooped you back up. salvation, he says, is of the Lord. That can be translated, deliverance is of the Lord. How do I know? Because the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, what you do, Jonah, after that is up to you. But this just showed me that again, if you're thrown overboard, you can reach out to God in prayer. If you can find it in you, realize who you are, realize who you belong to, like he did. And he said, I don't have to be down here. I can pray to my God, and I hope and pray that he hears me. And he heard me. I was deep. I was down. I was below the surface. But God lifted me up. And because of that, I'm going to recommit. I'm going to reaffirm. I'm going to do what I should have been doing. Because deliverance, salvation is of the Lord. And it's his to determine. Not yours, not mine. He could have left him there, but he decided, all right, I'm going to deliver him. And that can happen. So he goes on and he preaches. One sermon, Brother Brown. And everybody's lives were changed, even if just for that moment, for that time, for God's purpose. Perhaps God was dealing with his people, saying, see here, these heathen folk, they repented after one sermon. And all of the nation of Israel, we had to preach over and over and over and prophet and prophet and over. Just think about that. But I think there is recovery for those thrown overboard. If you're here tonight, if you've been thrown overboard, or you know someone that's been thrown overboard, why not reach out? And if it's you, why not reach up to the Lord? Why not pray? He'll hear you. He'll hear you. If your prayer of repentance and I want to do right, I'm down here, I believe God can get to you. And he can lift you up. Then it's up to you to realize, all right, I've got another chance. If this story is about anything, it's about grace and it's about another chance. I'm glad God is a God of another chance. I didn't just say second chance, because not even a third chance, because I didn't use all 5 and 10 of my chances. Amen. And God, give me another. As long as I'm living, he can give me another chance. I want to get it right. I want to pray. And so I think there's recovery. I think there is. You know. So tonight, I don't know who's overboard tonight. Or you may know someone who's overboard. Or someone listening 5 years from now might be overboard. I don't know. But there is recovery. There is restoration. David said in Psalm 51, restore the joy of my salvation. That means, you know, take me back to that point of departure. I want to go back there. I want to be restored. And God can restore you. Amen. If you're here, you need prayer, you want to pray for you tonight. I just believe that there is hope for the one who's been thrown overboard in our lives. Amen. We're going to sing a song, and if you stand, and if there's one here subject to the Lord's invitation, come by hearing his word, believing that same word, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you're here, if you just need prayer, if you just need help, if you just need restoration, we offer that. God offers that right now. Won't you come, please?
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood.